Thank you. Now I want to thank for Dr. Whittier and the organizing committee for inviting me to be here. One of the things that's really interested me, and actually Carl set this up very well with that last slide, is what is that variation? And one of the things that has really interested me, especially working with producers across South Dakota, and as I've been in graduate school working with different protocols and stuff, is why do we get that variation from herd to herd? And so what I was kind of asked to do today is talk about some of the factors that affect fertility. Now, if we do that, a lot of this, you're going to actually have heard bits and pieces of this throughout the day. And I'm going to try to tie that back in on what you can look at from herd to herd, because I'll be the first one to tell you, the synchronization protocols we currently have work great. We get that variation, and we get those herds, I know, very similar genetics, breed to the same bulls each year. 10% difference is not uncommon in their conception rates. So why do we get those variations? Well, first of all, why is this so important? If we look at the 2008 NOMS data, number one reason animals are culled from a herd is due to reproductive failure. Basically, they don't get pregnant during the breeding season. What's interesting is NOMS actually separated that out. There's another 4% for other reproductive problems. So by far, this is the biggest thing that can affect your herd. We just recently published a study in conjunction with USDA. There's about 16,500 heifers in here, all bred by natural service, not synchronized, just to look to see if when they conceive and when they calve affected how long they stayed in the herd. And if you look at that, there's a stair-step approach. The blue line there is animals that conceived and calved in the first 21 days, second 21 days, third 21 days. So we're actually losing animals if they conceive late, earlier from the herd. That's not surprising. It's always been thought, well, those animals that conceive earlier, you got a longer period to cycle back and get bred the next year. What actually surprised us, though, when we started looking at this data, the USDA station had all the weaning weights, too. This first year is by design. So calved in the first 21 days, second 21 days, third 21 days. There's that difference in weight based on when they calve over each 21-day period. Year 2, year 3, year 4, year 5, year 6. If you looked at average day of conception, there was no difference these years. So getting those heifers set up correctly, getting them bred early, affected weaning weights for 6 calves without really affecting days of conception except for that first year. So when we think about this, how critical is it? It's tremendously critical for your operation to get animals bred as early as possible and to keep them bred. And so, as was mentioned, I've got an extension appointment. I'm the only beef cattle physiologist in the state of South Dakota, so I get lots of interesting phone calls. And one of the things I always go back to that I was taught very well in graduate school was actually the equation of reproduction. When I get a call, and I've gotten calls everywhere from, I've got 0% cows pregnant in this pasture, what went wrong, to I'm 5% lower than last year. And this is the thought process I start going through. Animals detected in estrus and inseminated. Inseminator efficiency, fertility level of the herd, and fertility level of the semen. If we think about any one of those, you've heard bits and pieces of all of that all day long. With reproduction, if we get everything perfect, we get them all bred. We know that doesn't happen. But each one of those gets multiplied by each other. As was mentioned, I have a teaching appointment also. Teach a couple of classes this semester, and I've already had students this semester point out to me they do not have to make 100 on anything to pass the test or pass the class. And so, okay. So just doing the math. I just want to pass each one of these areas. 70%, we get 24% of our animals pregnant. How long will any of you be in business if we just pass reproduction? Not very long. And so what can we break apart in each one of these? So the first one, if we think about estrus detection, I don't care if you're AIing, I don't care if you're synchronizing with the bull. If that animal is not in estrus, she's not going to get pregnant. Pure and simple. So one of the first things is if we're doing estrus detection, and there's a lot of herds that still do a great job estrus detecting, how can that variation impact your fertility? And Dr. Smith started to set this up this morning. This was a study done at Colorado State a few years ago looking at intensive versus casual heat detection. Intensive heat detection was the heat watch system. Dr. Sackey talked about it. Gives us exact onset of estrus. It's a computerized system. Casual was 30 minutes morning and evening detecting estrus. If you look, there's almost a 40% difference in the percent of animals detected in estrus. If you don't detect them in estrus, you can't get them bred. No difference there. There's the prostaglandin of the synchronization protocol. And a 40% difference. Now granted, 9% was here before the prostaglandin. They were using the co-sync protocol where some of them can show heat early. So there's a lot of estrus detection aids out there. Tail chalk, K-Mars, beacons, Estratec, Gomer bowls, there's the heat watch system. I actually know of one producer that goes to Walmart, buys a gallon can of white latex paint on Angus heifers and a 4-inch paintbrush, and they look like skunks walking around at the beginning of breeding season. But guess what? That bright white paint, after mounting a few times, turns to a dingy white. Then it starts to flake off, and he can pick out exactly who's in estrus. As an undergraduate project a few years ago, we actually did a study comparing a couple of them. So we did visual estrus detection. For another study, we were out there every 3 hours anyways. So we were detecting estrus. We had a penile deviated bull or a Gomer bull. And then the white there is the Estratec patches. If we look correctly identified, we see very good rates. We actually did go in and ultrasound all the animals to see if they actually ovulated. And we see, again, very good rates. There are some animals that show estrus and do not ovulate, which we can see here. There's some animals that ovulated that were never detected in estrus, neither by us or by the Gomer bull. And so we do get those variations. Cliff actually pointed that out this morning. If you're not doing a good job detecting estrus, fixed time AI can actually improve your overall pregnancy rates. Now, how important is it? All of those aids do a great job telling you if an animal's in estrus. The one thing they don't do is tell you when they're in estrus. Other than the heat watch system, we're working on that. And when you think about that, Dr. Sackey actually set this up. Knowing when an animal shows estrus is extremely important. The same study at Colorado State, there's a 30% difference in the synchronization rate, the ones they detected in estrus. There was a 20% difference in conception rates. Every animal was seen in standing estrus. Why can there be a 20% difference in conception rates? Do you know when to breed the animal if you're just doing casual heat detection? If we looked at the pregnancy rates, Dr. Smith set this up. Synchronization rate, time conception rate gives you pregnancy rates. 71% versus 35%. And the difference was in the amount of time spent detecting estrus. Nothing to do with the synchronization protocol because we're all on the same protocol. So as Dr. Sackey had up there and did a great job explaining, there's a compromise. The more we know about the animal, the more we know about when she comes into estrus, the better we can get our conception rates. And AI is that compromise. So with intensive estrus detection, And I tell the producers I work with, if they're still doing estrus detection, they need to definitely do it more than twice a day. Need to be out there as early as you can in the morning, as late as you can in the evening, and at least once or twice during the day to know what is going on within that herd. We've got the heat watch system on campus, and we've seen cows exhibit standing estrus everywhere from 2 mounts to the transmitter fell off at 200 mounts. That cow with 200 mounts, you don't miss her. That cow with 2 or 3 mounts, those are the ones you end up missing. So when do cows show estrus? Group of animals, there's over 500 animals in there with continuous observation, either through the heat watch system or continuous visual. If we look, there's over half of them, almost 56% in the evening. And believe me, I've tried. Ask some of my graduate students, we've tried. It's hard to heat detect black cattle in the dark. But in some of these studies where we try to get onsets of estrus or we're trying to watch cattle, we do spend a lot of time out there. We're out there from as early as we can read an ear tag till after we can't read it anymore. And yet, there's still this big percentage that shows estrus in the evening. The other thing is, how many of you ever thought about, so presentations this morning showed estrus synchronization protocols in heifers and cows. Dr. Patterson and Dr. Lamb set that up. Great protocols. How did we pick times to do fixed time AI? Based on peak estrus. All of our fixed time AI protocols are based on that way. They're all set at 60 hours, 56 hours, 72 hours. They're not set at 7 a.m., noon, 6 p.m., So how many of you ever thought about the time that you gave prostaglandin could affect the time that your cows show estrus? And you can actually, there's actually a study out of CSU that shows that. You can shift this population to more during the day, or actually more at night, based on when you gave prostaglandin. And so if you're doing heat detection, how important is it to know that distribution? You can change how many of them you see coming in heat during the day versus at night just by when you gave prostaglandin on the protocol you're using. So we have a lot of things on the AI side, because if we don't do a good job detecting estrus, AI is impossible. Carl set up the same thing with natural service. Libido is the willingness of a bull to detect estrus. What's interesting is it's actually highly heritable. And there's some bulls out there that just don't care if a cow's in estrus. How do you practically manage that? Watch your bulls. There are scientific ways to do it, but the practical way is just to watch the bull and see if he's doing his job. I was fortunate a few years ago to be on a meeting with Dr. Barth, and he shared a couple of pictures with me. This is the way they actually measure libido in bulls. This cow is in standing estrus. They turn out bulls and see how many times that bull will actually mount her. What do you think those two bulls are going to do? Somebody says fight. Okay. There's what they really did. Dr. Barr told me this bull here they kept around mainly just to show people. He passed a BSE. Good quality semen, but he said that bull had no desire whatsoever to breed cows. And they said every time they'd turn him out, yeah, he'd show some interest and then he'd go lay down. And so there are bulls out there for natural service that just don't have an interest in breeding cows. How do you figure that out? Watch them. So we have those variations on AI and natural service. The other thing that's been talked about today is fixed time AI. And as I mentioned earlier, if you don't do a good job detecting estrus, it's very important, or we now have very good protocols that you can go to fixed time AI, breed all of your cows at one time, and not worry about your estrus detection. Correct? Yeah. But how important is it that that cow still shows estrus? How important is it that we get that timing correct? And Dr. Smith explained it on the male side with capacitation. And he actually showed this slide showing every time we've looked at it, these animals that show estrus prior to fixed time AI have better conception rates. Well, I've got a new graduate student, and we're working on a data set. Here's about 40 herds, almost 7,000 head. Animals that show estrus prior to fixed time AI versus animals that don't. And if you look, there's the COSINC protocol, the 7, the 6, the 5, and the 14-day protocol. I will tell you out of the percent difference varies between them, but out of those 40 herds, there is not a single time that the animals that have not shown estrus had higher pregnancy rates. Every time we've looked at it, the animals in estrus prior to fixed time AI have better conception rates than the animals not. We haven't run the meta-analysis on it yet, but if you just average 6,000 head, there's a 24% advantage. We'll see what the statistics tell us for the percentage. But we see, like I said, in every one of those herds, the animals that show estrus are better. Why is that? Dr. Smith talked a little bit about it. We've been very interested in it. We've looked at changes in the uterine environment. This graph just shows the changes in uterine pH. There's a natural drop at estrus that we see in cows that show estrus. We've seen changes in gene expression. To follow up Dr. Sackey's talk, one of the things we've been interested in is actually sperm transport. This is a study we just recently finished. Those animals that show estrus, we get an increase. This is average number of accessory sperm. We not only changed the average, we changed the median number too, just like Dr. Sackey said. So we get increased sperm transport. What's interesting is here's some of the pictures. You see a lone sperm in that one. There's three there. There's over 100 in this one. That's the variation you can see. And we actually see better sperm transport by measuring accessory sperm in those animals that show estrus. We get increased stage of development. We get better quality embryos. Now, one of the things we were interested in is not just the fertilization, but some of the work we've done looking at changes in the uterine environment, we also wanted to look at embryo survival. So we actually did a really intensive study. We took a group of cows and cut their ovaries out and wanted to see what fertility was. Now, the only way you can get that is we actually gave all the injections to mimic an estrus cycle. Supplemented estrogen, supplemented progesterone. We created an artificial estrus cycle so every cow was the same. When we left out the estradiol for estrus, so our group here did not exhibit estrus. We transferred similar quality embryos, so on day 7, 100% of them would be bred. There was one cow that maintained a pregnancy if she did not exhibit estrus. That had nothing to do with fertility. So how important is that exhibiting estrus even for a fixed time AI protocol? We get sperm transport, embryo quality, where we can even affect embryo survival by changing the uterus. So estrus is extremely important. So if we do all of that really good, let's say we do a great job detecting estrus, 90%. Next one, inseminator efficiency. We know when good quality semen is deposited in the correct location, fertilization occurs about 95% of the time. I'm not going to go into a lot more detail. Dr. Stroud did a tremendous job talking about semen handling and the things that can go wrong. The big question I get asked, or I get told by students, is the bulls do a much better job. That's not true. This study out of Australia actually showed there's almost 14,000 first service AIs, 6,000 first service natural services. Why do I point out the first service? There's no selection in here. It's not that we AI'd and the most fertile cows got bred by AI and then natural service or the rest. This group actually did everything first service. No difference in pregnancy rates. So if we have good quality semen, we put it in the right place, it doesn't matter if the bull does it or if you do it, fertility should be good. So inseminator efficiency, we'll say 95%. Fertility level of the herd, we could spend a lot of time, and we are spending a lot of time throughout today and tomorrow talking about this. There's been a lot of discussion on cycling status. Every time we've looked at it, cycling status of heifers affects overall pregnancy rates. Dr. Patterson showed that with reproductive tract scores. Heifers that have reached puberty prior to the start of the breeding season have much better pregnancy rates. Same thing with cows, if they're cycling before. Now, I know some of our protocols, but it kind of depends on how far postpartum they are. So cycling status is very important. Compliance with protocols, that's been brought up throughout today too. Fixed time AI, if we're supposed to do it at 60 hours, we do it then. If we're supposed to do it at 72, we do it then.